News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. Dalton's going to have to scoot out of here.
Skedaddle.
Got to propose something to the audience, see what they think about this. So you've got, let's talk about where you're going, why you're going, why you're getting out here about 8:20.
Right, yeah. Well, I'm going to a children's school performance.
Mm-hmm.
My children, to be specific.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of other children there, too, but I'm there to see mine.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So it's a yearly thing. And that's what I got to go do. That's what I get to go do. Let me rephrase
it. Of course, of course. End of the year. So they're kind of like they've been behind closed doors putting together an incredible program. And now you get to see it all unveiled in one morning. You know, all the talent is there and the stars are alive. And
it's I feel like I'm going to like opening night of Hamilton, except if it were a musical I actually wanted to see. It feels like a big event, and I'm just excited to see what the kids have been working on. But that's not it. So you have the school performance this morning, and then next Tuesday night, we wrap it up with the dance, their dance class. They've got their performances. So I'm going to be watching a lot of dancing over the next 5 or 6 days.
Two different, so it's not an AM and PM presentation of the same show.
Right. Yes.
So this is one thing.
Two different things, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, some real dancing will be happening on Tuesday night.
Just wanted to see what the audience would think. And, you know, I like the kids. They like me fine, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Get along.
Every now and then you hop on when I'm talking to them at 7, mm-hmm. FaceTiming, you'll hop on.
They like that.
Yeah, they love it.
And I've been to at least one of their performances in the past.
You went to Izzy's very first performance.
Yes.
That's exactly right. You saw her first ever performance.
Right.
So when she's, you know, on Broadway one day.
I'll say I was there when.
Yeah.
But what would the audience think if on the days that Dalton's kids are performing, he stays here? And I'd say, Dalton, I cannot miss this show.
Right.
They are so cute. I got to go watch them perform. And you're like, you know what? Throw the old guy a bone.
I mean, it is kind of unfair you have to stay here. Mm-hmm. You play such a major role in their lives. But, you know, one of us has to go. And it's me.
Here's the major role that I play in their lives. Izzy, who is
five,
knows exactly who I am.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton, who is 3,
yeah,
does not really know and could care less. But that's her personality.
Yeah, you got in on the ground floor with Izzy.
You've
been friends with her for a while.
I did.
Including her first trip up here to the office where, I mean, what was she, 3?
Two and a half,
she walked,
3.
Yeah, and she walks into the room and goes, wow, nice copier.
Yeah. She is as tall as, I mean, she is just tiny. And she's a little girl, and we're just walking around the building, and she's just observing. But she knows she's being observed, you know, when a child is not just fancy-free, because they know all eyes are on her.
Right.
So yeah. She's walking around, and she decided when she walked into the room with the copier, she said, oh, nice copier. The quote of the year.
Didn't even know she knew.
Out of the blue, yeah.
What a copier was. Bill says, remembering all mothers on Mother's Day. That's a big part of this as well, I'm sure. Just the end of the year happening right around Mother's Day. So that works out well for all the mothers who get to go see their kids do their thing at the end of the school year.
And by the way, Vicky's a terrific mother. She works hard, but she takes care. She, you know, you're a great dad, but you've got a great teammate there.
Yeah.
Because you guys...
She's carrying carrying a lot of dead weight on this side of things. So you're right.
I wouldn't say that, but she does what she's got to do, and so the kids are going to grow up to benefit from that. If you can keep them out of culture, the entire society and culture around us, if you can keep them away from that, they'll be just fine.
I'm sure that'll be easy.
Yeah.
To this point, it has not been.
No,
easy.
I know.
Also, we've been all through the morning talking about the crazy storm that rolled through this morning. I mean, I knew there was a possibility, but that came through hard, right? And very, very loud rolling through my neck of the woods. I'm not sure. I don't know if we had any tornadoes in Mobile, maybe eastern Baldwin County. It looks like Pace, Florida certainly had some destruction in some wooded areas, thanks to Ben, who sent that video earlier. Damn Yankee says, big tree down on my neighbor's house in West Mobile. And we've been seeing a lot of trees down, power lines down all morning. This follows a real stretch of tornadoes just over the last month nationwide. And somebody put together, well, not just somebody, the National Weather Service put together a report on the tornadoes that have been confirmed so far this year. And I don't know how up to date this is, but it says as of May 10th, there have been 687 reports of tornadoes nationwide, which is quite a bit above the 15-year average for this time of year, but very close right now to last year's average at this time of year. 687 tornadoes so far, but you look back at April, and we were below the 15-year average. So what we've been seeing in Texas, Oklahoma, yep. Arkansas, Tennessee, Kentucky, Carolinas, over the last couple weeks, it's just been, you know, tons of tornadoes, some of them on the ground at the same time. And it's crazy just how all that's happened so quickly.
April was docile. And is that right? It wasn't really.
Mid-April is when things really started picking up.
You know, you have that tornado activity, and you could, I would guess the most of that activity would be in about 10 or 12 states. You know, from Kentucky, Missouri, Indiana, Oklahoma, Texas.
Yeah,
you know.
So I have a map. There's been, and they don't even have one listed in Alabama. And I know we had an EF 0 or 1, at least one or two of those
earlier this year.
Thought we had
some upstate, yeah.
That's what I thought. But they've got a ton in Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, even a couple in South Dakota. Missouri's been hit hard. Iowa's been hit. Indiana, Tennessee, Arkansas, Louisiana, and even a couple in Georgia. But now, I mean, it's not strange. We're in tornado season, right? But every day for the past 2 weeks, there's been a tornado reported, and at least 307 since that streak began on April 25th.
I'm going to try to read this. You know, I have some trouble with the text line, but sometimes good things do come from a storm. Good morning, Dan and Dalton. My power went out last night. My generator kicked on, ran for about 5 minutes, and shut off. I'm glad the storm came through because now I know I'm out of propane. say a hurricane comes or whatever later into that season, he's now aware of what he does need. And so this storm, at least if it provided anybody anything, it helped out Don in that way.
Yeah, good little trial run for you there, Don,
exactly.
With it being much less dangerous than if we have a big, big storm come through. And just looking at that radar overnight when the alerts started going off. We were just right there at the very southern tip of that storm.
Yep.
It's almost like another 50 miles north, we would have been completely in the clear.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how the weather works out, right?
Yeah, I saw that. What time did that alert come over? About 3 a.m.?
I want to say, 3 is when things started getting serious.
So I immediately looked, and I had trouble sleeping last night anyway, so I looked at I brought up the radar, and I saw what you were talking about. It's like, we're so close that it's not even affecting us.
Yeah.
But it did affect us. And so for a lot of you, there is some cleanup and some damage control or damage cleanup you're going to have to deal with.
What caused more damage? The storm rolling through here last night or the storm that rolled through Montgomery these past couple of weeks?
How about that? And what do you think about Ivy was... She was pretty...
She sounded agitated to me.
She did to me, too. And I'm not saying one way or the other that's good, that's bad, or that's BS or whatever. But I thought that by the very end, we had a pretty good idea. Even though it was down to one vote back in the 30th of April, I thought we had a pretty good idea where the gambling was going. And basically, it was going nowhere,
mm-hmm.
right? So at the end of it all, and they end up not moving it forward. And so back in 1999 is the last time that gambling was on the ballot and lost pretty significantly. That was during Siegelman's time.
It wasn't that like 56 to 44
it was,
or something like that?
It was. And there was a lot of factions coming in to promote one idea or the other. And the anti-gambling coalition basically won mm-hmm. with their strategy. That involved a lot of different factors, from churchgoers to outside influences. Anyway, this is Ivy yesterday, and she seems like she is pretty perturbed.
Why would I do that? They can't come to any consensus among themselves currently, so why would I spend the time and effort and money on a special session? So I'm disappointed that the gambling bill is not going to get a vote with the people.
And she was asked, do you think you could have a special session that might straighten all this out? And she was just like, the heck with it.
Yeah, and, you know, they started throwing so many bombs at each other yesterday, members of the House, members of the Senate, going after one another, going after the other body, that Spanish Fort, Mayor Mike McMillan almost got caught up in the whole thing as a kind of retribution, it seemed, directed towards State Senator Elliott, or maybe even Congressman Matt, State Representative Matt Simpson, if you want to stretch it that far over into Daphne. But McMillan, they were trying to have this passed through the legislature that would basically make this property next to the Eastern Shore Center. I'm not exactly how this works, but they were calling it a capital improvement cooperative district where this portion of land right next to the Eastern Shore Center, which I believe is currently owned by, let's see, I had it listed here just a minute ago. Let's see, it's owned by representatives with the nearby Malbus Plantation. So the Spanish Fort plan here was to eventually build a baseball complex with several fields right next to the Eastern Shore Center. Okay. And they wanted to pass Senate Bill 327 through, which would include properties near the Eastern Shore Center. City doesn't own the property. The legislation would allow for the properties to be acquired and placed into the district. Then future revenues derived from licenses, fees, and other sources from developments within those boundaries would be used to pay for bonding that could be initiated to improve the area. Then you get the baseball complex years down the road. Well, Representative Chris Blackshear from Smith Station, who's been all over this gambling bill trying to get it to pass, he kind of, he just started pushing back on this specific project in Spanish Fort, and he was grilling the heck out of Representative Simpson during all of this, I believe yesterday. They eventually ended up passing it through after Simpson kind of dealt with Blackshear's attitude, but that was almost on the cutting floor because of this disagreement over gambling and because Elliott was a no vote.
So this was direct retribution, Elliott being a no vote or Simpson
the,
or...
Right, that's the way it seemed.
And it was all him trying to muck up their plans for the ballparks because of, hey man, you messed me up on the gambling thing.
Right, and of course Jeff can speak much more specifically about how many different people were doing this kind of thing in the legislative session these last couple weeks, because well, I mean, that's how you play in politics, right? And we saw even not just individuals, but entire chambers taking out retribution on the other chamber because they weren't getting their way.
Yeah, Jeff was talking to me about this yesterday, I think, where he said it's very interesting that this session was different, he was saying, Dalton, because generally you can see who the opponents are going to be. It's pretty obvious. It's almost like wearing softball uniforms. Right. There's the yellow and there's the blue team or whatever.
Thankfully, they're not doing shirts and skins up there in Montgomery.
Little hoop action. So not shirts and skins, but you know who's... He said this year, this session was much more the House and the Senate not communicating. And I don't know that anything... Maybe there are some other bills out there that say this as loudly. Look at gambling. And look at the way it went back and forth, and I think there was some resentment from the House. They had that committee that worked on putting together this legislation really hard for a really long time. And what did it get them but a pie in the face?
Yeah.
And they go back and forth, and then they're thinking, well, finally they compromise going back to Senate, and it falls one vote short.
Yeah, and no special session. And listening to Jeff and Sean yesterday, sounds like it might be a while before gambling or lottery is back in the fold up there in Montgomery. Maybe another 4 or 5 years, according to Jeff.
And that's something.
That's crazy.
It's a bad taste in their mouth, and the heck with the whole thing.
Yeah, but they ended up passing that bill, so Spanish Fort will get the that co-op district that they were looking for. And I'm sure we'll get the full rundown of things from Jeff coming up on the Jeff Poor Show. Hey, why don't we do this with the Eco Wild Outdoor Expo beginning today at noon. That's where Sean Sullivan will be broadcasting live from.
I'll be down there.
And he'll have Representative Simpson on today as well.
Yeah, that'll be big.
Good to hear from him. But let's give a family four-pack away for the Eco Wild Outdoor Expo. Mobile Convention Center begins at noon today. Caller number 5 at 343-0106. Caller number 5, a family four-pack for the Eco Wild Outdoor Expo. You can go today, tomorrow, or Sunday.
Okay. We'll take a look at the Middle East on the way. Also, the Dalton's got to get out of here. We'll get a winner from Eco Wild. We'll talk to Lonnie Burnett, Dr. Lonnie Burnett, who served this long time, the president at the University of Mobile. He's moving on. Where to? You might be surprised. We'll talk to him after 8:30. It's Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. I'm sure Dalton has got a song in his heart as he makes his way to his little program for his little girls at school today. And hope he has a good time. So, at 8:25, you got to Joe Biden kind of in a bind. He's taking heat from all sides. Could be the most fraught moment in the Israel-Hamas war since fighting broke out 7 months ago. A number of recent developments, both at home and abroad, have underscored the politically perilous path Biden finds himself on as he navigates criticism from Republicans and Democrats unhappy with his approach to the conflict. All this mixed up with his re-election campaign, in which polls show voters say they trust Donald Trump to do a better job in the same tough spot. College protests everywhere, of course, chance of genocide Joe, and not a pleasant time for Joe Biden right now. Congressional Republicans have seized on the fallout as a unifying election year issue for their party, denouncing the scenes as chaos, born from Biden's incompetence. And the universities themselves, they get some blame, no doubt. Where the Biden administration is right now with Israel, they just want everything to calm down. I don't know if that's going to happen. This is Matthew Miller, a spokesman for the State Department.
We have made quite clear we don't want to see it happen. We continue, and I should say, we do continue to engage with them about other options that they can pursue.
Speaker Mike Johnson, who's been in the news for his own reasons, said that President Biden's recent threat to withhold munitions shipments to Israel was completely unexpected and probably, quote unquote, off script. Biden said in a Wednesday CNN interview that his administration will halt munitions shipments to Israel if the nation continues with plans to invade the city of Rafah. Remember, that was Axios that had that story earlier this week. Johnson says, my reaction was, wow, that is a complete turn from what I've been told even in recent hours. He told Politico, 24 hours ago, it was confirmed to me by top administration officials that the policy is very different than what we stated here. He's being in high-level conversations and meetings. And so at the very top level, Johnson thought, Biden was going to do one thing. Now it looks like, and could this all be part of the political pressure on him and his people who, have him running for re-election? Meanwhile, defiant Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has vowed his country would not stand alone, if its closest ally followed through on threats to suspend arms shipments over the full-scale invasion of Rafah, where more than 1 million people have taken refuge. This is Netanyahu.
If Israel has to stand alone, we'll stand alone. But we also know we're not alone because we have so many decent people everywhere who do support us, who do understand the truth. And we will defeat our enemies and we will secure our future.
Netanyahu was speaking after President Joe Biden's warning sparked all this fury and infighting among his senior figures, Democrats, Republicans. Everybody's in the middle of all this with opinions and ideas of who this all is going to benefit politically. Meanwhile, Netanyahu on what he sees after the dust is settled.
We'll probably have to have some kind of civilian government, civilian administration by Gazans who are not committed to our destruction, possibly, I think, with the aid of the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, and other countries that I think want to see stability and peace.
On the text line, 251-343-0106, you can tell me about a downed tree from the storm last night, or you can tell me your opinion of what's about to go down. It looks like Israel is full steam ahead with their plan to try to root out the last of the Hamas terrorists. Interesting. Also very interesting man. We talked to him a lot of times. He's the University of Mobile president, Lonnie Burnett. He's got new plans for himself on the way. We'll talk to him about those coming up on Mobile Mornings. Good morning from Mobile Mornings. It's Dan and Dalton and FM Talk 106.5, 8:35. It is a Friday morning. The storm has come. The storm is gone. And Louie Arata tells us what's going on at McConnell Automotive. Good morning, Lou.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing good. This weekend's going to be nice and sunny after the storm and everything gets out of here. It looks like very shortly we'll be enjoying great weather, great car shopping weather, I think.
That's right. We got some great deals going on. McConnellAutomotive.com. Check it, everything out online. And, if you had an unfortunate limb hit your car last night or, you know, something happened, come see us at the body shop, McConnell Collision Center, man. We got a great body shop back there. You can give them a call, 251-476-4141. They can take care of all those unfortunate accident stuff. And I know we had a big showers and stuff last night, but it looked like you said it's going to be beautiful this weekend. We're going to be here. We got all these cars spit shined and ready to go.
Another thing, you can go to the website. You can look over some of the inventory and be ready to go once you get to the lot, right?
That's right. You can do everything you want to do on that website, man. You can put a credit app in. We can do e-sign. We can do it all. So just give us a chance. Give us an opportunity.
Let them know where you are, Louie.
Moffett Road. So I got to go to Moffett Road just in a minute. Dolphin Street, east of I-65. It's in beautiful Midtown. We can't miss us.
Yeah, man. We'll see you soon over there. And also McConnell Automotive Online. Thank you, Lou.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata at Dolphin and I-65, McConnell Automotive and McConnellAutomotive.com. I've got a gentleman on the line that we talked to a number of times as he has. Well, I guess, Lonnie, you're still officially president at the University of Mobile. Is that correct?
No, not technically, Dan. My last day was May the 6th.
Oh, okay. We just missed it.
Yes. I'm retired for a month here, actually.
That's something. So we're going to talk about where you're heading. But first of all, I want to look at your long career in education in the city of Mobile. And then more specifically at the University of Mobile, I want to talk about that time with you. Does that sound okay?
Sounds great, sure.
So this is what Lonnie Burnett was at the University of Mobile. First of all, in the very end, he was the president of the University of Mobile from 2019 till now. He was a student at the University of Mobile. He was an alumnus at the University of Mobile. Lonnie Burnett has been a professor. He has been a dean. He has been a senior administrator and also winner of the alumnus, I guess, of the year award. That was at a banquet back in March or February, Lonnie?
Yeah, right toward the end of April, actually, Dan.
And so was that a surprise to you? And is the award now named after you?
Yeah, it actually was. It was a surprise to win the award. Then they also have since named it for me. Going from here on out, it'll be the Lonnie Burnett Alumni of the Year Award. So that was a great honor. I was thrilled by that, certainly.
Let's talk about let's go way back. You were in Mobile County Schools, I believe, for 25 years, correct? Talk about that time as a school teacher within the system.
Yeah, I did 25 years, starting, I guess, in 1980. In the Mobile County Public School system. Loved that. Yeah, and I retired in 2004. And I'm not very good at retiring, apparently, because I stayed retired for 2 weeks. And then I went to the University of Mobile for the next 20 years. So I taught history, of course, all those years at both places. Loved doing that for many, many years.
What are the big benefits? Or what are the things that you obviously have a lot of enthusiasm for education? Talk about what that is and what that means to you as an educator, because I know even to the very end you were in the classroom at the University of Mobile as president.
Yeah, that's true, Dan. I mean, there's no, in my mind, there's no higher calling than being a teacher. I mean, there's just nothing like that. The students make it worthwhile. You know, I don't care if it's the high school, middle school, graduate school, whatever level, it's for the students. I mean, whatever you do is for the classroom and the students there. And I never got tired of doing that. I've always loved teaching history. I may do it again one day. Who knows? Even in this new role, I might do a class every now and then. But, it's the idea of the influence you can have on young people. That just never gets old. It's so important. And you'll see a kid you taught 30 years ago, in Walmart. They'll come and say, I appreciated your class, and you meant a lot to me. I mean, that never gets old.
I imagine it doesn't, much like a coach, where you have a,
sure.
You might not even realize the effect or the relationship you have with a young student, but you do, right?
Absolutely. And you never know it until years later. I mean, it's kind of frustrating. If you cut grass, you can see that right away. But in teaching, you may never know the influence you have. But, mm-hmm. I mean, teachers have great influence all the time.
Talk about being a student and how that sparked, what sparked it for you to get an education. Somebody must have inspired you as well.
Yeah, I think all teachers would say that, you know, they had a teacher that inspired them. I had several. I mean, a guy named Calvin Quist many years ago in college. There was a lady named Hazel Peterson. I mean, just you can think back and say that person actually cared. It was not so much that they were great in their subject, although they were, but it's, they spent extra time. They mentored. They took time to care about you as an individual. You never forget those things. I can think of teachers back 40 years ago, conversations I had with teachers. And just, I think that's the big influence today. I mean, all teachers will tell you that they had a teacher that inspired them, sure. I believe.
Your time at the University of Mobile now, let's just focus in on that and talk about what that time meant to you, the highlights of it all, the opportunity to, in 2019, become the president at the University of Mobile. Just from A to Z, from your first day on the job to your final day on the job here just days ago.
Well, and that was, a great honor and a great thrill to be president. I started in May of 2019. I was there about 6 months when COVID hit. So my first, couple of years was dealing with a COVID pandemic, like all schools, high schools did, all universities did. But that was a very learning experience because we had to, pretty much adapt very quickly, which we did. We were very blessed. We had a great 5 years as president there. Great. We did, good things, I believe, my staff and myself and our teachers. It's not all me, obviously, but we had a good run for those 5 years. We had great academic success, great financial success. So it was just a thrill to be able to lead that school that I'd been a part of for so long. It meant a lot to me, obviously. I was very proud of what we did.
Yeah, and I can see why you were. Lonnie, I've been out there a lot, worked at, I've been on certain projects with the university, marketing-wise and all. And yeah. And of course, we'll get to the Musso thing, which was the thrill of my lifetime, as you probably saw from the front row, how thrilled I was. But the communication at the University of Mobile, the way the faculty, the way the administration is able to communicate with each other in a very kind of a loving, civil way, I guess you would say. And then the same with the students. It's, we don't want to, I want to get to your next job, but I don't want to dismiss all that that means and how special that place is out there.
It is, and it's, we tell folks it's the people out there. It's just buildings are one thing, that's great, but everybody's got that. Programs are great, but without good people, nothing else matters. I don't care if it's a high school or whatever. Without good quality people, nothing matters. And you've got caring people that take that place as a mission and have for years. I mean, folks have been there for 25, 30 years. A lot of the folks that worked there were like me, went to school there. So they care deeply about that mission. And it's a very, it's a very unique place. It's just a very, when you go on that campus, it's a very unique feel.
And was it, what was the name of the projects was it Ram Day or the Ram Corps would play? And it was for prospective students and parents, maybe once or twice a year. And I would go out there for those. What was the name of it?
Just we had Ram Rush, we had Preview Days, we had UM Days. The name changed over the years, but it was a big preview event with the bands and the meals and stuff. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, a film presentation that really laid it out for you.
Yeah.
It was all very well done. I'm sure you could see the pride in that room as everybody was watching the same thing, And I would just I'd be seated near parents with their kids, and I'm thinking, this is a home run right here. Pretty good marketing job by your group. And you got a good group of people that sell the university as well, because I know the students come from all across the United States.
Yeah, and across the world, too. 31 countries at last count. So, it's a good job of marketing, no doubt.
How did this thing come about with Coastal Alabama Community College? And we'll get into that now, the transition and you moving along there as the vice president. What happened? How did they reach out to you?
Well, this is a long story. When I announced back in August that I was going to step down as president, I had really no idea what I was going to do. Mm-hmm. I knew I would do something, but I'm not going to retire probably. But in February, the Coastal Alabama appointed Dr. Aaron Milner, a guy you and I both know, Dr. Milner,
yes,
as president.
Yeah, we know
Dr. We know him well. And at the time, I had no thought about going there, obviously, but anything he's involved with is going to be first class. So I was intrigued by that. And as fate would have it, an act of God, around late March, I saw a job opening there for a new position of vice president. So that intrigued me greatly to work with Dr. Milner, first of all. And to work with Coastal Alabama, this is a massive operation at Coastal Alabama. And in my mind, it's kind of the best of both worlds. They do, you know, academic training for folks who want to go to a four-year college later, but also the very best in workforce training. It's just a massive footprint. They have physical locations in six counties, for goodness sakes. They teach, you know, for credit, 7,000 students. You throw in the other types of instruction, you're up to like 10,000 students. So it is a massive machine. I'm just intrigued to work with Dr. Milner again. Fascinated me. So I applied for the job, interviewed, and was appointed, fortunately. So I will start there June the 3rd, looking very much forward to that.
Yeah, so Dr. Milner was most notably around here known for the great success at Saraland Schools, correct?
Absolutely. If you watch that, he was there for probably 10 or 11 years. You see what they did there. He's a machine. This man, what he touches, is doing first class. I think the folks at Coastal have already seen this a little bit, but they will in his first full year next year. He's an amazing person when it comes to detail, facilities, curriculum. I think it's going to be a great, great time for Coastal Alabama.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to joining you.
Yeah. There's no doubt. I think that the combination of you two guys will work great there. I'm looking at this. You are spread out. So you got the Academy at Fairhope Airport. What is that exactly in the Academy of Aviation Center at Brookley Field? How are they different than the other campuses?
That's more of a focused, I think, on that one type of that one curriculum. There's more of a site. You know, you've got major campuses in Bay Minette, Bruton, Monroeville, Thomasville, Gilberttown, Atmore, Gulf Shores. You've got a small site at Brookley. You've got a site, as you mentioned, Fairhope even, but at the airport. But they're all over the place, and also a massive online presence, for goodness sake. So there, any type of training you want, be it the regular English, history, math, to go to a four-year school later, or the specialized credentials, you know, for the trades, whatever, anything you want, pretty much, they can offer. It's just, it's an amazing, I'm still kind of getting my hand around the entire thing here. It's so big, I'm trying to grasp the entire program. But, you know, the way the world is now, Dan, with this workforce development push, Coastal is positioned, I think, to be a major player in this state, if not the Southeast, because what they do is very impressive. I'm looking forward to learning more about this. It'll take me weeks and months to learn the entire system, but it's in a very impressive operation, I promise.
Yeah, and I'll just say it here, that the fact that Dr. Milner's now on board and you're on board, I think that things are going to run even more smoothly and probably accelerate at an even higher level. I would definitely forecast that. We see what Coastal is now, and it's pretty darn impressive with all those campuses and those special learning sites as well with the specialized workforce development. What is the vision for Coastal Alabama? I've learned more about this in the last couple of years, and it seems like it's already kind of big, but it seems to me possibly be a sleeping giant.
I think it is. Again, I think COVID was actually the big shift. You know, COVID made this workforce so much more pronounced, it seems like. I believe their mission statement pretty much says they invest in the success of all students. You know, this is a big change. When you and I were kids, when you thought of a junior college, which they called them back then, you thought about, well, those are the folks who couldn't go to a four-year school. Mm-hmm. That's not the case now. This is the first choice for a lot of your most gifted students because they realize what this career training can do. That, I think, is the biggest difference. This is now a destination. It's a first choice for some of your best students across the state. I can see Coastal Alabama being a major player in the workforce. I mean, they're already big in Airbus, infirmary health, places like that. So I just see more and more of that in the future here. It's a niche where any student can find what they're looking for.
Yeah.
If they want to do, you know, in my field, history, English, math, the humanities, they've got that there. Prepare you for this four-year, you know, transition to a four-year school, but also go right into the workforce. And these guys are making good money, good training. It's a great path, it looks like to me.
It does to me, too. And so it is a legitimate two-year way to the next, you know, you might be saving a little money and you can stay at home and get the first 2 years of schooling out of the way if you want to move on to South or Auburn or Alabama, correct?
Or the University of Mobile, exactly. You could do that.
Or Mobile, right.
Yeah, it is a good option for any of those schools because, yeah, you can be local. I think it's the lowest tuition in the entire state, by the way. So it's a great bargain, great quality instruction for a good price if that's your path to go to a four-year school. And a lot do that. But others go right to the workforce, mean, there's paths for all different groups there. That's why I think that all student thing is important.
Lonnie, as we wrap up, I would like for you to explain briefly to everybody the opportunity we had to meet the great Johnny Musso and be part of a program that was a lunchtime event at the University of Mobile a couple of months back.
Oh, that was a lot of fun, Dan. You were very gracious to be our host for that event, to interview Johnny Musso, one of my boyhood heroes.
Yep.
And that was a special day because, as you know, that guy was so sincere and just so humble, so nice. What a gentleman. Told great stories, I mean, great faith stories, great football stories. We had a packed house that day. You were the perfect host for that event, by the way, the perfect interviewer. It was a very special time for us. Made a lot of money for scholarships, too, that day.
That's great. Everybody won, but I certainly won meeting Johnny Musso that day and spending so much time with him. I thank you for that, Lonnie, and all that you've all the opportunities you've given me through the University of Mobile through the years. I appreciate it a lot. It's priceless stuff, man.
Well, good. Stay in touch and go to Coastal. Stay in touch and come see us out there.
I'll do it. And you're going to be up in Bay Minette, correct?
Bay Minette campus, yes, sir.
All right, there'll be a knock on your door, Lonnie. It'll be pesky Dan Brennan.
Come on out.
Thanks a bunch. Lonnie Burnett, now the vice president at Coastal Alabama. It's 851 FM Talk 106.5. And what's going on with the Atlanta Braves and TV coverage? It's on the way. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings, 856. Probably in the last couple of years, you've heard me talk about my frustration trying to get the Atlanta Braves on TV. You know, I don't need much in life, but give me the Braves. They're a good team. They're on nightly, so you just kind of keep up with them like a sports soap opera. And it's just something fun that I like to do. Little, you know, one of life's pleasures. And I've been up and down with the Braves being on, taken off of this platform and then moving myself to another, to YouTube TV, and then they're gone from there. This has hit an all-time crisis now. The Atlanta Braves fans have been made painfully aware of over the last few weeks. There's an ongoing dispute between Comcast Xfinity and the group that owns Bally Sports. That's where the Braves are broadcast from. As such, Xfinity customers have been unable to watch Braves games. This is one of those disputes between the company that is producing the games and the company that's putting it out there, as in Xfinity. And what's really crazy now is about half of Atlanta gets the Braves through Xfinity. So they're black. They can't see the Braves. The city of Atlanta, and a lot of you, the same thing, if you're Xfinity customers or several others, you can't see the Braves. But it's more absurd than ever. David O'Brien of The Athletic tweeted out his view from the press box at Truist Park and showed the fact that the TVs in the press box, and this would be the same as in the suites that are bought by, you know, people with a lot of dough, you can't watch the Braves on your TV there. So if you're in the press box or if you've bought a big suite and there's a message that comes up and it says broadcast unavailable, you're in Truist Park. You're at the Braves game. You can't watch the game if you wish to. Like, I missed that play. Let me look at the replay real quick. Nope. And what was ironic about the picture that this guy from The Athletic tweeted out, right over the center field and right field fence, because they've had this great relationship with Xfinity for so long, it's part of that, that's part of the what they call the battery. There's the giant Xfinity Comcast building. There's your TV that says, yeah, you can't watch the Braves. I don't know how the Braves and Major League Baseball lets this happen under their own nose. It's so embarrassing. It's been bad for the fans, but this is probably the most embarrassing now. Jeff Poor Show on the way. More about Goat Hill. He's up next.